Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Professor Shane Higgins, consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital, is with me in studio today. Shane, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea.
Now, we are here to talk today about, miscarriage, really, and ectopic pregnancy.
Yeah.
You might just, what is that, first of all?
Well, an ectopic pregnancy is a pregnancy that develops anywhere but in the uterus and in the body of the uterus, the main part of the uterus. And that means it's situated anywhere from the cervix to a scar that might be present in the uterus to the fallopian tube to the ovary to somewhere in the abdomen. But a pregnancy that develops anywhere other than the body of the uterus is called an ectopic pregnancy.
How does it happen?
Well, when the egg fertilizes in the fallopian tube, and then it's meant to drift down into the body of the uterus and attach itself to the wall of the uterus, something called implantation. If it drifts too far or goes back in the opposite direction, then it implants somewhere where it's not meant to be. And the most common place an ectopic pregnancy occurs is in the fallopian tube. The problem with that is the fallopian tube is a very delicate structure with a very good blood supply. And as the pregnancy implants into the wall of the fallopian tube, it can erode into blood vessels, it can erode through the fallopian tube wall. And it can lead to a very, very serious, sometimes life-threatening bleed in the patient.
I've heard, just even anecdotally of more people I know or just more women having it. Is it that there's more cases of it?
There are risk factors. So using the coil is a risk factor. Smoking is a risk factor. Damage to your fallopian tubes through pelvic inflammatory disease is a risk factor. So there are risk factors, but we find that most ectopic pregnancies just occur by chance, unfortunately, for patients. And I suppose the very important message is that if you have any concerns about the whereabouts of your pregnancy based on symptoms, then you should go to the hospital.
What are the symptoms of it?
Well, I suppose we have a golden rule that if somebody presents with lower abdominal pain and a positive pregnancy test, then until you exclude an ectopic pregnancy, That's your biggest concern. So pain in your lower tummy, particularly if it's located to left or right of the midline, and then sometimes vaginal bleeding and a positive pregnancy test, which most patients will have by the time they present.
And if you have an ectopic pregnancy, is there a chance you could subsequently have a second one?
Yes, there is. If you've got particularly if you have had a damaged fallopian tube and the tube isn't removed, then that damaged tube might lend itself to you having an ectopic pregnancy. And again, if you have one of the underlying predisposing factors that increase your chances, then yes, you do have an increased risk.
So if you have any of those symptoms and you present at A&E or you go into the maternity hospital and it's discovered that you're having the ectopic pregnancy, is surgery then the next step?
Not always. So I suppose, first of all, it's trying to get to the diagnosis. And if you have a positive test, if you're very early in pregnancy and you might not be able to see anything in the uterus by way of an ongoing intrauterine pregnancy, then you monitor blood levels of HCG to see if they're rising in accordance with an ongoing pregnancy. If they're not rising to the levels that you would expect over a 48-hour period, then your suspicion is raised. But there are ultrasound features that you would look for. So you might see the ectopic in the fallopian tube. You might see blood in and around the pelvis, in and around the uterus. And that's a very strong indicator. You might see nothing in the uterus. All those features added together might lead you to suspect that there's a possibility of an ectopic pregnancy. Depending on the exact clinical scenario, you might be offered medical treatment with a drug called methotrexate, which means you can avoid surgery. But if there are features of a rupture, like free fluid or acute abdominal pain, guarding tenderness, all the features you'd associate with blood in the uterine cavity or in the pelvic cavity, then you might be recommended and directed down the route of surgery and probably removal of the fallopian tube if it's affected.
Is there any way to save what was an ectopic pregnancy?
No, there isn't. Unfortunately, there isn't.
There isn't, okay. But, and it could even have, as you say, potential impact for the length of fallopian tube, even
absolutely,
in the aftermath of that.
Yeah, so if the fallopian tube is significantly damaged as a consequence of the pregnancy implanting there, then the fallopian tube will almost certainly be removed in its entirety.
And we don't want to scare people, because you can still go on to have healthy pregnancies after that.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. You've got two fallopian tubes, and the other fallopian tube, if it's working properly, can more than compensate.
Yeah. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have questions for Shane Higgins this afternoon. Just on an ectopic pregnancy, this listener, Shane, had one back in November for a planned second pregnancy. Unfortunately, my fallopian tube ruptured. I had to have the surgery to remove it. I understand that my chances of conceiving are more limited now, and unfortunately, I haven't had any success conceiving since. Has Shane any advice on what I might do or what I can do to help me conceive again, or if I now need to start seeking medical help?
Well, it's an interesting comment. It's an interesting question, because we know that sometimes patients who, say, can track their ovulation from left to right ovary and who might only have one tube can feel that they've conceived from an egg that's been released, say, from the right ovary, but has travelled through the left fallopian tube. So we know that that can happen. And although patients tend to alternate their ovulation from one ovary to the other, you can still get pregnant. But in answer to the listener's question, yeah, look, I mean, if you give yourself, depending on your age again, and this comes back to, you know, trying for 6 months, trying for 12 months, if you feel you've reached that point that you want to explore other options and other avenues, going to see somebody in an IVF unit or an assisted human reproduction unit, because it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go down the road of IVF. There are other treatments that will maximize your chance of conceiving without necessarily going so far as IVF. So, yeah, seeking some support and advice from your local gynae unit, which will have a fertility service, and certainly the bigger units in the country have a public fertility service now where they can advise you on what the most appropriate treatment would be.
Listener wondering, how likely is it that you'd always lose a fallopian tube due to an ectopic pregnancy?
I think it's becoming increasingly likely that you lose the fallopian tube, because we know now that leaving a damaged tube lends itself to more problems.
So it's kind of, is it just best practice often?
Yeah, it's almost standard now to remove it. It's pretty standard to remove the fallopian tube.
Yeah, okay.
That is best practice.
And so from the ectopic pregnancy, then, as you say, you can go on to have, though, conceive naturally and healthily after all of that as well.
Every hospital, every clinician will see patients who've had an ectopic and then a subsequent successful pregnancy.
Why is that? When just to go back to the beginning there, you mentioned that among the risk factors that the coil is included, or how does that become a risk factor?
Well, we don't know exactly why it happens, but we know that the coil, and particularly the older copper coils, produce an intense inflammatory response. And that use of a coil, whether it's still inside you or not, it does predispose to perhaps damage to the fallopian tubes. The fallopian tubes have these little hair-like projections called cilia that line the fallopian tube, and the egg just drifts, the fertilized egg just drifts down these cilia, and it's very easy to see how they could be damaged and affect how they work and how they function, and therefore lead to the increased risk of an ectopic pregnancy.
Just some of the other listener questions. My niece, who's 23 years of age, suffered with cysts in her ovaries. She's had one removed in Ireland and then also and then moved to Australia. She's since had another cyst developed and removed while over in Australia. She got a bad infection after the surgery and now is scarring on her ovary fallopian tube. They've warned her that she's at risk of having an ectopic pregnancy because of the scarring from the infection. Yeah. Is there anything you advise that she can do to safely conceive?
Well, no. I mean, I suppose there's a lot of issues in that question. So first of all, is the fallopian tube working? And she can go and have that assessed by way of some form of dye test, where you inject dye, you see whether the tube is filling and whether there's spillage into the pelvis. And that will tell you whether the tube is patent, is at least open. But until you conceive, you won't know whether you're able to conceive or not. And I know that might sound like a nonsensical statement, but it's the proof of the pudding is in the trying. If you get a positive pregnancy test, if there's a high risk of you having an ectopic pregnancy, then you really need to seek advice and help and assurance early by way of those serial blood tests that I mentioned, where you'll get your HCG measured, you'll get it measured 48 hours later, and perhaps more again after that. And that goes a long way before the pregnancy appears in the uterus and ultrasound to reassure you that it's in the right place.
Just one or two other questions. And sure. I know we were going to talk about miscarriage as well today, but we might actually just delve into that more specifically maybe next Wednesday afternoon. Yeah. Listeners wondering, how long is advisable to wait to try again after a miscarriage? Because I'm actually hearing lots of different advice in relation to this.
Yeah, and you will hear lots of different advice. So the advice I give to a patient is, if you've had a miscarriage, then you can expect a period probably 4 or 5 weeks after that. I would advise against conceiving, particularly if you've had the miscarriage surgically managed by way of an ERPC. So if you've had surgery wait until you have a period, and then in the following cycle, it would be perfectly reasonable to conceive. So I'm saying 6 to 8 weeks after you've had the miscarriage. If you really feel that you want to do that as early as that, that's probably time enough.
Listeners wondering, where does an unlocated ectopic pregnancy go?
Well, that's a pregnancy of unknown location, and that's one where you think, well, it could turn out to be an ectopic, or it could turn out to be a very early pregnancy loss. But what you're essentially saying when you mention that is that you don't know where the pregnancy is, and therefore you have to consider all possibilities, and particularly including an ectopic pregnancy.
If you want to, if you have a question for Shane Higgins with regards to miscarriage, if you want to send that in to us, and if you want Shane to respond to it, we can do that next Wednesday afternoon. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Shane, for the moment, we leave it there for this afternoon. Professor Shane Higgins, consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital at Holles Street.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.